Now, you join me at a tremendously exciting moment. It's into your head. Number 116. Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, he hasn't the energy to do this. He doesn't. He's been busy all week, and he's extremely tired. So he should just make a compilation. He should get some old crap that most of the listeners won't have heard before, and string it together in a pile of content, and pretend it's new. Now, it's a bit late for that, I'm afraid, because I had to do this bit at the beginning where I read your mind and tell you what you're thinking, and that's revealed to the listeners that it's not new material, and it's going to be rather obvious now, so the scam has failed, but nonetheless, I think I'll go ahead with your idea and put some old material together in a new and exciting and refreshing form, in other words, with a different show number on it, and mixed together in a different order, with some other stuff thrown in to the pot, just to make it more interesting, or to make it more anyway, that's basically it. It's into your head, a compilation of old crap from the past, from my past anyway. There's no crap from your past in here, as far as I know, unless you were involved in the previous episode of Into Your Head, which some of you have been. Let's see. Some of you have been involved. I don't know whether any of the stuff with other people involved in it will be in this episode, because I haven't made it yet. So I'll go ahead and make it, and then we'll see what happens. Presumably it'll go online and get listened to, and then I'll come back next week and make something new if I feel like it. So goodbye.
It's turning out to be absolutely one of the worst episodes of Into Your Head ever. No particular reason, it's just the content is particularly particularly ungood, if that's the word. It probably isn't, actually. Let me just check the internet. Ungood. Is that a real word? Let's do a Google search. Apparently it's a newspeak word, which is some kind of it's a kind of a bleh, 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 bleh. Anyway, you see what I mean. I can't even make a little story out of that. I just end up going me 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 me. I'm just not on top form today. I shouldn't really be recording. I should just do something else other than record an episode of Into Your Head. Because if I put this online, people are going to come along and hear this, and it'll be their first ever experience of Into Your Head, and they'll think that's a load of crap. I'm not listening to that ever again. I want my money back. I want my half an hour of my life back that he stole from me. Well, technically, he didn't steal it because it wasn't mine to keep. I don't own time. I'm not the god of time. I'm not whatever the god of time's name is. Hold on a minute. Let's see what the god of time's name is. Who's the god of time? There's a god of thunder and a god of other stuff. I can't seem to find the god of time on the internet. There is a website called God of Time, but it appears to be for some sort of computer game. And there's a site called Time for God, which is a different thing. That's a religious thing. I want to know who the god of time is. In one of those old religions, they used to have gods of everything. Because there was a god of weather, and there was a god of animals, and there was a god of people, and there was a god of other gods, and there was a god of dogs, and the god of dogs probably had his own dog, because otherwise he wouldn't be much of a god of dogs. That would be like someone coming along and saying, I'm going to do a podcast about cats. I don't have a cat, but I'm just going to make it up as I go along. So no, I think we can safely assume that the god of dogs had a dog. Now, say it had, he's probably still there. He hasn't gone away, or else he never existed. People don't believe in him anymore. I don't know. I haven't done my research into this. This is a spontaneous podcast. So I make it up as I go along. I don't know. I just spotted a search result that says, every time you masturbate, God kills a kitten. Let's see. Every time you masturbate, God kills a kitten was a headline of an image created by a member of the website Fark.com in 2002. The images of a kitten known as Cliche Kitten being chased by blah 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 blah. Now, this is a Wikipedia article. It's headed, "Every time you masturbate, God kills a kitten." That's ridiculous. It's the most ridiculous encyclopedia I've ever come across. There's a picture of this thing that they're referring to. There's a kitten, and there's two scary-looking animated characters chasing the kitten. And the kitten looks a bit like my cat, Harry, who recently went missing. So as far as I'm concerned, this is in very poor taste. Admittedly, slightly, the kitten in this is slightly lighter looking than in colour than Harry, and probably younger, because Harry, of course, wasn't the kitten anymore. But still, nevertheless, I choose to take offence at this. That's the great thing about the modern world. You can choose to take offence at things, especially on the best, the most fun part of it is when you choose to take offence on behalf of someone else. You can put out, if someone put out a television programme featuring dead cats, someone can come along and say, this is offensive to anyone who has a dead cat. And that person doesn't even have to have a dead cat. You can just take offence on behalf of other people who have dead cats and go right to the newspapers and say, that's a disgraceful thing. There was something on the television or something, I forget what I said it was, about dead cats. And I'm taking offence on behalf of all people who have dead cats because this is extremely hurtful and insensitive. And then the newspaper will publish the letter, and someone else will write in the next day and say, that person who took offence at dead cats should go and get a live cat and get over it. And then someone else will write in saying, I agree with the person about the dead cats, fair play to him, well done. And then the newspaper will see that and it'll say, oh, we've published two letters now in favour of the anti-dead cats protests. We better publish, for balance, another letter from the pro-dead cats lobby. So I said they'll publish another letter at random from someone who's in favour of dead cats. There'll be some lunatic you'll write in and say, I'm in favour of dead cats because I don't like cats. And apparently that's what you call balance in the media nowadays. Then the newspaper will draw a close to it. It'll say, well, we better stop publishing these letters now because it'll get to a point where we'll have 87 pro-cat letters and 85 anti-cat letters, and then we'll try and balance it up, but we'll be two letters short. You won't have enough letters to balance it up, and we'll have to start making them up. And we don't want that to happen. So we'll stop it now while we're even. We're at two letters for each side, so we'll stop it now. We'll be fair and balanced reporters, and we'll start a competition instead about something. We'll have a crossword competition, except with diagonal words in it, and people will have to fill in the words diagonally from right to left, and it'll be to celebrate World Writing Backwards Day. Because there's certain countries where people write backwards, and not intentionally, and it's not called writing backwards when they do it. It's writing correctly when they do it, because it's part of their language that they write from right to left. Ironically, they drive on the left, and the road signs are on the right-hand side of the road, and they're printed backwards so that you can see them in the mirror. But they don't look like they're printed backwards, because they're actually printed forwards, because their language is backwards in written form. So when that's reflected in the mirror, it appears to be written forwards. So it looks fine. So there you go. That's that for you. Your head. We were 82. I'm standing up at the moment. Well, that may change any second now. In fact, it just has changed. So I'm no longer standing up. I don't intend to give you a running commentary on my position for the next half hour, because that could get rather tiresome. Especially since, in order to make it more exciting, I'll have to continuously stand up and sit down and find new positions to be in. If I'm not going to commentate on it, that just means I can just sit here on my kitchen counter and not move at all, because I don't have to worry about whether my movements are entertaining enough for you. So I think that's what we'll do. I'll just sit here. I'm sitting up on my kitchen counter, mainly to avoid being eaten by a dog. Reminding a little dog who I'm afraid may eat me at some point. I know what you're thinking. If this dog is being minded properly, he won't be of a mind to eat the person who's caring for him. Well, you would think that, but this dog appears to want to eat me. He's looking at me with an evil face, and, well, I say an evil face. You can't have an evil face. A face is just a representation of what's in the mind. It's the mind that's evil, not the face. So, he's not an evil face, but it's a face that represents an evil mind behind it. Because, of course, the face is the window to the soul. It's like if you've got a... Now, I know that complicates things, because... As I speak, I'm in a kitchen that has two windows and a couple of doors, which technically are windows because you can see through them into another room and a hall. And the other room has glass doors, so I don't know what you call them. You probably call them glass doors, but they're windows as well. So if you take it that the face is the window of the soul, then what happens if something has two windows? Does that mean it has two different souls, or there are two different parts of the soul that you can see? Well, neither is the case, because a kitchen doesn't have a soul. A kitchen isn't a person or a being. So if you're looking at a kitchen that's got two windows, you shouldn't be thinking about whether it's the window to the soul, because it's not. It's just a window to the kitchen. So we're letting in light and air, and basically... letting out poisonous invisible gases that can kill you, because apparently some parts of the country have poisonous invisible gases that can build up in your house, and apparently they kill you, despite the fact that you can't be seen or heard or detected unless you have some sort of dangerous invisible gas detection device. Now that's visible, that's not invisible, but it detects invisible gases, presumably not through sight, because unless it's like the visual equivalent of one of those dog whistles that only a dog can hear. Maybe there's some things that only a dog can see, or only an invisible thing detection device can see. But then it's not invisible at all. It's only invisible to humans or certain species, which means it's not really invisible. That's like if you say a cat can see air. That would mean the air is not invisible. It's just not visible to some people. It's not in our spectrum. I don't know what you're thinking there. You're thinking you can see stuff that's being moved by air. That's a different thing. If I see a blade of grass swinging in the wind, that doesn't mean I can see the wind. It means I can see the blade of grass swinging. And for all I know, it could be a couple of invisible strings that are being moved by a puppeteer, and they're attached to the blade of grass, and they're causing the grass to move. That's the sort of thing puppeteers get up to. They're complete weirdos. They go around with their little wooden handles, and they attach two pieces of string to the wooden handle, and then they attach the pieces of string to something. When they get bored of their puppets, they just attach the string to anything and cause them to move. They basically... everything. Not everything. They probably don't do it to aircraft. Because that could be dangerous, and they do have some, most of them do have some morals. They don't go around playing with aeroplanes, attaching bits of string to them and using them as puppets, unless they're able to do it safely. Of course, there will be some skilled puppeteers who've been doing it all their lives, and if they were to attach their pieces of string to an aeroplane, they'd probably be well capable of guiding the aeroplane safely to its destination. But still, it's probably against the law. It's probably against the airline laws, whatever the airline laws are called. There's some body somewhere that governs the aeroplane industry and air flight, and it says things like, you can't go around attaching pieces of string to an aeroplane. An aeroplane should be able to fly on its own steam, using wings and an engine. Preferably more than one engine. I don't feel safe going in an aeroplane that has only one engine. Because if the engine cuts out, then someone's going to have to get out of the aeroplane in midair and go and open the bonnet and fix the engine and get it started again. And by the time they get that done, you'll be nearly on the ground. So you'll have to, start up the aeroplane again and take off all over again. And they'll probably... I was on an aeroplane flight once that got delayed by 4 hours because there was something wrong with the engine. Got delayed for 2 hours in Dublin, and then there was a stop-off at Shannon in the west of Ireland, and then it got delayed for 2 hours there, and they told us, oh, it's okay, it's just a part in the engine that's got something wrong with it, so we're going to replace it. So don't worry at all, it's just bits of the aeroplane falling off. They're completely replaceable, though. They're just like you, you're replaceable. As we speak, somebody is on our aeroplane movement company website somewhere. I suppose an airline company is what you call it. Our airline company website. Someone is on that somewhere booking another flight in your seat. And so you're totally replaceable. In fact, you probably only use this airline once a year at the most, because it's not like you're a business passenger. I mean, look at you. You're just some guy going off to Boston or somewhere to see your brother and drink beer and spend the summer there and then go back to being a student. It was quite incredible, in fact, that they knew so much about me, because this was all before 9/11, before there were all sorts of checks. Nowadays, of course, when you get on an aeroplane, they check how many cats you have and where you're going and what you're going to do there. Now, they always ask you where you're going. I refer them to the pilot. I think the pilot is the best source of information on where we're going. It's up to him or her. It's up to the pilot to decide where you're going. I can't be certain that the pilot is going to go where I want to go. So I don't want him. That's what I always say to the immigration officials. I say, I don't want to accidentally misreport where I'm going. I'm hoping to go to Boston, but if I were you, I'd check with the guy who's driving the aeroplane, because he's the expert in these things. I don't know for certain until he makes an announcement just after takeoff saying, we're en route to this such a place. Usually it turns out to be where I want to go. But, you know, I don't want to take the chance. You don't take chances in the aeroplane world, in the world of aeroplane travel. You can take chances in the world of car travel, of course. You can set off with the petrol omeeter almost down at empty, and you can just hope that he'll get there before it runs out. It's called running on empty. Of course, it's not technically empty. There's still some fuel there, and that's what's powering the car. If it isn't, I want to know what is, because that would mean the cars don't need petrol to run on, in which case we've been duped and conned for the last 80 years of automobile travel into buying petrol that's of absolutely no use whatsoever, and it just burns away while you're travelling and has no effect. I once carried a can of petrol home on my pedal bicycle, and the bicycle didn't go any faster, but apparently none of the petrol disappeared or evaporated, possibly because it wasn't going fast enough for it to evaporate. So I still had all the petrol when I got home, and I put in the lawnmower. The lawnmower only has one engine, of course, but that's because apparently lawnmowers are considered safe. But there you go. That's don't get me started on the grass cutting industry. Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, why does he not want me to get him started on the grass cutting industry? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the grass cutting industry is a con. That's why. You get little kids coming round to your door saying, your grass is very long. Can I cut it in exchange for some money? And I usually take offence to that. I'll say, are you saying my grass is very long? And they'll say, yes, it's here's a measuring tape. Here's some of your grass. I'll put the measuring tape vertical beside the vertical blade of grass, and you'll see that the top of the grass is level with the 26 inch mark, and the bottom of the grass is level with the zero mark, meaning that your grass is 26 inches high. And I usually say, okay, okay, fine, go ahead, cut my grass. Just don't expect to get any more than the agreed price for it. But then they go off and cut the grass, and they take 2 days to cut the grass because it's so long, apparently, and there's so much of it. And you feel guilty, and you give them more money than you had planned to give them. And that's all part of the con. They know exactly what they're doing. They're thinking, this guy's grass is long. I'm going to tell him I'll cut it for 2p, 2 pence. And then he'll get suspicious and say the pence were abolished several years ago when the euro came in. And they'll say, no, well, that's fine. We'll still accept old 2 pence coins. We'll exchange them at the central bank. You can still do that. You can still exchange old Irish money for euros at the Irish central bank. And then you say, oh, that's fine. I just want to check if I have any 2 pences. And they'll go, oh, no, that's fine. You check later. And then what happens is when they finish the grass, they come along to you for payments, and you go and try looking for your 2 pence coin, and you can't find one. And you have to give them 87 euros. Because they'll tell you, oh, 2 pence. If you translate that into American currency, it's $8, and then translate that into euros, it's 90 euros. But we'll round it off to 87 euros and 20 cents. And you're so confused that you just hand it over, and then they go away, and you never see them again until your grass grows again. And then they'll start the whole thing over again. They'll say, "Do you want your grass cut?" And you'll say, "I thought you cut it a couple of weeks ago." And they'll say, "Yes, but it appears to have grown again. We didn't manage to stem the growth of the grass last time, so it seems to be continuing to grow. Would you like us to cut it again?" And you'll say, "Yes, but do it properly this time." And then the whole thing starts over again. It becomes rather repetitive, if you ask me. That's why I didn't want to get started on the whole lawn mowing industry, because I end up going round in circles. Not literally, because I don't cut my own grass, but I end up going round in circles with this whole story about how they keep coming back to cut your grass again, and then I tell the whole story again of the whole money and euros and 2 pence story, and then I'll say at the end that they come back again 2 weeks later, and then I start the whole story again. I get into a vicious circle that I can't get out of. Luckily I seem to have got out of it this time, on this occasion, because I was conscious of it, I was thinking about it. But on another occasion, maybe I mightn't be so lucky. I could end up stuck here for hours and hours and hours, and then my battery would run out. I might break a record for telling the same story over and over again 3 million times. But my battery on my sound recorder would run out after around 25 goes around. So I would have no evidence of breaking that record, and the guy from the Guinness Book of Records would come along and say, "Oh, that's great, you told the story 3.8 million times, let me just check your recording so I can verify it and then put it in the Guinness Book of Records." And he'll be rightly stuck then. He'll say, I'm afraid I don't have a recording. How about I do it again? I'll start all over again and I'll do it again." And then you start doing it again, and then your battery still runs out. And the same thing happens all over again, and it gets, because that's getting rather repetitive. And then the only way out of it is to hope that someone will come to your door and ring the doorbell and interrupt your conversation with the guy from the Guinness Book of Records, because they'll say, "Do you want your grass cut?"
Ideas. I've got nothing for you today. So what I've done is I've gone on Twitter, the social networking messaging site, and I've posted a message saying I'm recording a podcast and asking anyone to give me topic suggestions. I've said so far I've talked about pissing and coughing and filled up 5 minutes. So all I have to do now is wait for some people to reply. So I'll just keep refreshing the page here until I get a reply, and then I'll talk about whatever topic suggestions I get. So bear with me. It might take a few minutes, I don't know. I'll just keep hitting refresh here, though. Oh, here we go. Roll says, Stroop Waffles, STROOPWAFELS. Okay, so I have to find out what the fuck that is. Roll has put 9 exclamation marks after this, so presumably it's something absolutely fantastic. So I will try it in Google. I don't know. He's one of those continental Europeans who have these weird things. Stroop Waffles. It's a... Syrup Waffle. Okay, Syrup Waffles. Now this is absolutely fucking ridiculous. This Chancer role has directed me to talk about Syrup Waffles. Correction. Since this earlier repeated segment was created and last published, it has emerged that Rule's name is Rule, not Roll. So the earlier me of the past who recorded this segment for a previous episode got it wrong. There's no such person as Roll as far as I know. There probably is, but not the person who we're talking about here. The person who we're talking about here is Rule. So for Roll, here Rule. Thank you. To talk about syrup waffles. Now, a syrup waffle is just basically a dessert, but it's a fucked up dessert, if you ask me. A waffle is supposed to be a thing made out of potato that you put baked beans on, but these fucking foreigners like to get their waffles, put sugar and syrup and crap on them, and they call it a dessert. A waffle is not a dessert. A waffle is an alternative method of serving potato if you get bored of potato chips or baked potatoes or the other traditional potato serving methods. So it's not a suitable thing for a dessert. A dessert is it? That's like if you get a lump of lamb and you put it in the middle of a bowl of ice cream and you say, "There's your dessert." It's a meat dessert. Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking people have jelly for dessert and that's made out of cow's skulls or something. But that's not the same thing. A jelly is a nice, cooling, soft, funny-feeling, wobbly, fun food stuff. And it's fine to put that in a dessert. A lump of meat isn't. If I get a lamb chop, and that's not a dessert. You know, no matter how much ice cream I put it in, if I push it between two wafers, it's still not a dessert. It's a lamb chop between two wafers, and it's fucking ridiculous. So Roll, now you're probably trying to be helpful here, but you're not. You're not being remotely helpful at all. So I don't know. That's Stroop Waffles. That's got 2 minutes and 51 seconds. So I'll just go on Tank Roll and see if anyone else has anything. I think I'll pause this section. Now, I'll just unpause this now. Actually, I've just unpaused it. I actually just said I'll just unpause this now, just for dramatic effect. And you know damn well that if I had actually unpaused it after I said that, you wouldn't have heard me saying, "I'll just unpause this now." So we all know. We all know how that works. We've all watched dramas on television, and we've watched films, and we know about dramatic effect. It's the podcast equivalent of where you're in a movie and they put in a dramatic piece of music for effect. You know damn well that guy walking along the street isn't being followed by an orchestra, but you know that the orchestra helps mentally with the effect. You're not even listening to the music, but it's telling your brain something scary is around this corner here, and it sounds like a violin, but it's probably a monster or some guy who's got a hacksaw and he wants to push it through your throat, or he's got a knife that he wants to cut your skull open with. He'd probably be better off cutting your skull open with the hacksaw or using the knife to cut your throat, because if you get those two implements the wrong way around, then it's just less effective. If you have enough strength, it'll probably work either way, but I mean, if you're going to have these expensive tools, well, you've probably stolen them, so the expense is not a problem, but they're expensive in terms of you've risked a certain number of years in prison by stealing the weaponry. It hasn't cost you financially, but it's cost you in terms of risk. So you might as well use them properly, get as much value out of them as possible. And so if you use the knife to cut the guy's throat, or use the hacksaw to cut into his head, not the other way around. If you go cutting a skull with a knife, you're going to have to hack away for several hours. And believe me, I know exactly what that's like. A few weeks ago, I broke the last remaining key to the padlock on my gate, and I had to replace the padlock, so I had to get a saw and cut away at the bolt for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. It took me 8 days to get this thing open, and that's what would happen if you try to saw into someone's head with a knife. So that's my recommendation anyway for you, those of you who have to do that. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, he's just spent the last 2 minutes telling his listeners how to murder people. Oh, I have not. That's very assumptive on your part. You may have just set up a new country. I presume you've got the recognition of all of the main countries in the world, and so you've a legitimate country that you've set up, and you've declared yourself the chief executioner, possibly, and you've decided you're going to execute people using knives and hacksaws, in which case it's perfectly legal for you to do so. And who am I to tell you that it's murder? It's not murder unless it's murder in the law. If the law said it's murder, then it's murder, and if you've been convicted, then it's murder. But otherwise it's not. So don't go telling me that I'm encouraging people to murder people. I'm not. And just so I'm clear, I don't agree with people murdering anyone. You're not to go out after this podcast and murder someone. And if you do, you're not to blame it on me, because I don't condone it. I uncondone it. I specifically discondone any murders carried out by people who have been listening to this podcast, either before you hear it or after, whatever that means. I don't know why I said that before you hear it or after. That's absolutely fucking meaningless. But you're going to have to live with the fact that I have a heavy cold, and today's pod show is going to be absolute crap. It's going to be the worst episode of Into Your Head in not ever, but in quite some time. It's going to be the worst since at least number 12 or 13, but I recently took down the early episodes, so this is going to be the worst of all the episodes that are online at the moment. You won't be able to hear any of the early ones that are worse than this. So yeah, this will be the worst episode of Into Your Head online as at the present time. So there you go. Don't say you weren't warned. You're the fucking idiot who's listening to it. It's just basically me insulting you, accusing, telling you how to murder people, and then denying it, and then talking a load of crap about pissing into glasses and coughing. I'm surprised I haven't coughed more during the show so far. I've done about 12 minutes, and I've only coughed once. In fact, I think I'll do a cough now. Let's see. Here we go. I'll just clear my throat first. Actually, I probably shouldn't have cleared my throat, because that'll make it more difficult to cough. But I'll do a fake cough. Here goes. It's a reenactment of a cough that I did earlier while I was on pause. So here goes. Now, that was a pathetic cough, because I'm in a pathetic state of illness. And I know what you're saying there. You're saying, get well soon, Neil. I hope your condition improves as soon as possible. And I hope you're being looked after. And I hope that everything's okay apart from that. Which it is, so thank you very much for asking. But apart from that, yeah.
I'm Seanie Grega, and this is a Thai Weekly World News. The entire week's events condensed, distilled and bottled. Ready to pass through your system in a few short minutes. A Thai's biggest newspaper is launching a new service for busy readers who find it difficult to keep up with the latest developments in the town. Modelled on the new generation of digital television channels, the new newspaper, A Thai News Plus One, will publish all of the same news and articles 1 week later than its sister publication. The publishers say that if the new concept is successful, an A Thai News Minus One will follow in the new year. A Thai's tourist industry took a hit this week when a respected travel guide described the area as having nothing but the same old sun and moon that you can see everywhere else. Local hoteliers, however, were quick to defend the town, saying they offer unique views of all heavenly bodies from a minutely different angle in each room, hence guaranteeing all of their guests a refreshing new look at an old sky, weather permitting, of course. Another of Athai's landmarks is set for a major overhaul this week, as the town's main post office gets its first ever blue and white plastic sign, to indicate that it is now a Service Plus post office. Local interest groups have welcomed the move, calling it a welcome relief from the relaxing but unadventurous green painted signs with which stamp purchasers have become over familiar. And here at Athai Weekly World News, we're giving you the chance to air your views on the local post office. Just text yes if you agree and no if you don't. The correct answer will be announced tomorrow. We're receiving unconfirmed reports of a hungry cat in the Kilkenny Road area tonight, Loud meowing is said to have been heard in the vicinity. We have no further details at the moment. Two youths have been charged with public order offences after joining up the dotted line in the town's main street, causing traffic chaos several days last year. Dozens of motorists were trapped in their vehicles, mistakenly believing that they were not permitted to overtake each other. Meanwhile, a class action lawsuit is to be taken by six drivers whose vehicles allegedly collapsed under the weight of free newspapers received while trapped at a junction for the duration of the crisis. In sport, Athy's only snooker tournament collapsed in chaos late last night after the table started spinning uncontrollably. And it's been a bad day for the local chess team, after three makeshift white prawns were eaten by a player's pet, rendering the game unplayable. And that's the news for now. I'm Seanie Groega. Don't forget to join me tonight at 9, when I'll be having a quiet night in with some low-fat popcorn, a DVD, and possibly some sexual intercourse. Good evening.
Join me at a tremendously exciting moment. I said earlier that I posted on the website Twitter to my friends asking for subject suggestions, and Dadaist, I think that's how you pronounce his name. I don't know. I don't usually pronounce his name because I've never spoken to him in audio, but his name appears to be Dadaist or Dadaist or something. I don't know. Or Dadaist. I don't know what the freaking hell it is. I don't know. But anyway, Dadaist has said, I would like to suggest why shouldn't seals go clubbing as a topic. And that's absolutely fucking fantastic subject. Why shouldn't seals go clubbing? Well, the reason seals shouldn't go clubbing is because they're fucking seals. That's why seals shouldn't go clubbing. Because most of them are underage. Your average seal lives to be 17 years of age. There isn't an average life expectancy for a seal because they all live to the same age. They all live to 17, and if you average out 17 over whatever number of seals there is in the world, I don't know, say there's 2 million seals, and you add up 7, say you multiply 17 years by 2 million, and then you divide it by 2 million, then you just get an average of 2 million. So there's no point working out an average at all, because they all live to 17 years. Now, I know what you're going to say there. You're going to say some of them live to 17 years in 1 month, and some of them live to 17 years and 12 months. And you could average that out. In fact, 17 years and 12 months is 18 years. So they do live to 18 years. Well, I don't know what the hell you're basing that on. They all live to exactly 17 years, 7 months, 2 days, and 1 hour. Now, admittedly, when summertime and wintertime get involved, there's an hour's difference there, and every 4 years is a leap year, and then there's some sort of adjustment made to the time every 20 years or so, where they add 1 second onto the year or something. But that's completely... You're just trying to confuse me. Seals live to a certain age. Now, they mightn't all live to the same age in human years. I mean, they mightn't all live to exactly 17 years, 5 months, and whatever the hell it is I said. But if you have a seal, and say you have a pet seal, and you look after it, and it lives, for example, to the age of... 56 in human years. Well, that's whatever age that is, that's the equivalent of 17 years, 5 months, 2 days, 6 hours, and whatever I said it was. And basically, you get it as a fraction. You divide the 56 years by the 17 years, 5 months, 2 days, and whatever it is. And you get pi times a half. Pi times a half is the variant in all this if you want to work out the whole seal thing. And that's obviously, this is fictional. This isn't real life stuff. I'm making all this up. This is Into Your Head. It's a particularly poor edition of Into Your Head. I've nothing to talk about. Dadaist came up on Twitter and gave me this perfectly fine topic of why shouldn't seals go clubbing, and I've managed to fuck that one up. I've got nowhere where he's probably referring to why shouldn't seals go to clubbing, as in nightclubs. But people say clubbing, and they never say, they don't say specifically whether they mean nightclubs or other type of clubs. I mean, there are clubs that operate during the day, and there are clubs that operate at night that aren't nightclubs. I mean, I used to go to the Beavers at night. It was night to me. It was 7 o'clock at night, and that was just an hour before my bedtime when I was six. So that to me was night time. I used to go to a nightclub called the Beavers, and we'd basically do things like learn how to tie bits of string together, learn how to tie knots, and we'd learn how to make rubbings using old Irish coins. You get an old Irish 10-pence piece that was new at the time. And you get an old Irish 10-pence coin, and you put some paper over it, and you get a crayon or some charcoal, and you basically rub that into the paper, and then the shape of the picture of the coin would basically come up in the charcoal. And basically this was an early form of forgery. The Beavers, the Scout Club Association of Ireland, was teaching its junior members how to do currency fraud. It was absolutely fucking disgusting. But luckily we weren't all intelligent enough to realise what was going on. And I've only just realised now, at age 32, that they were giving me the beginnings of a set of skills that I could have used to forge currency. Fortunately, I was too stupid to realise this thing. I never did it. And at this stage, it's too late to start a new career now. Well, my background is in clerical work, so I won't be going into forgery. So rest assured that the Beavers haven't got to me. The Beavers nightclub has not got to me. I've not become a criminal as a result of my membership of the junior level of the Scouting Association of Ireland. Maybe this is something to do with the fact that I never progressed to the Cub Scouts and then to the main Scouts, or even to the Sea Scouts. So I left the Beavers and I never went back. I decided that's enough for me. I've had enough of that crap. I've learned all I'm going to know. I'm not going to be labelled as some sort of a rodent or some sort of little furry mammal that gets run over on roads all the time. And that's what offended me about the whole scouting thing. All these parts of the scouts, you had the Beavers and the Badgers and the Cubs. They're all little furry little animals that get run over by cars. And I don't think that's something to strive to be. Supposedly the Beavers taught you how to be a good person, how to live a decent life, and how to acquire some skills that will be of use to you in that respect. Skills like how to cook a tin of beans on the fire using only two pieces of rock and a cat, and how to do it without being cruel to the cat, which is a lot more difficult. So you can't just do the obvious things in that situation. I mean, you can't just get the cat and rub its two back paws together. That's cruel. I wouldn't do it anyway, but it's against the rules. So you had to find some. Yeah, so basically what you did was spend several months training the cat how to go and search for a couple of dry sticks that you can rub together. And by that time you died of starvation. So it really was impractical, the whole Beavers thing. But I suppose it's what instilled in you and your spirit. You knew you were never going to be able to survive on a desert island with just a cat and a piece of string. And the tin of beans that you couldn't open or cook, but you knew still that it was the spirit of the whole thing. You grew up with a love of cats and of baked beans and an appreciation for your food, basically, and an appreciation of fire. Not one of those went on to be a pyromaniac, as far as I'm aware. Although I should probably search on Bebo now for everyone who was in the Beavers with me and make sure, because I can end up looking pretty stupid if I got that wrong. It could be that two of my ex-fellow Beaver members are now two of the most famous pyromaniacs in the world, and that one of them burnt down. Well, one of them might be Osama bin Laden, who burnt down, allegedly, the Twin Towers in New York. I mean, that would make me look pretty stupid. And not only that, I didn't do anything to stop him. I was supposedly a member of this Christian organisation, and this future terrorist was there with me, whittling away with charcoal on a 10-pence coin and making little images. And I did nothing. I could have had him arrested right there and then on quite a simple charge of basic money laundering, money forgery,
with the coin thing, but instead I didn't. I allowed them to get on with it. I allowed them to progress to be one of the most serious criminals this world has ever known, and I'm now racked with guilt. I don't know what to do. Basically, I'm a wreck now as a result of my time with the Beavers and the Scouting Association of Ireland, and let that be a warning to you.
Hello, I'm Dustin Meehan. Some of you may know me as the voice that goes, "Sit, Ubu, sit," on your favorite family sitcoms. I'm here to tell you about the IntoYourHead.com guestbook.
And online voicemail system.
Everybody who's anybody is posted in the IntoYourHead.com guestbook.
And online voicemail system.
You should too. Because you haven't truly partaken in the show, unless you've mingled with the humble and ignorant listeners such as myself. Visit the guestbook.
And online voicemail system.
Now at IntoYourHead.com.
Now, I made reference earlier to the glass that I peed into on the previous show, and you heard me earlier in this show drinking out of it to prove that I'd come full circle and washed the glass to such a sufficient standard that I was happy and confident enough to use it as a drinking receptacle again. Well, the story doesn't end there. There was very little liquid left in the glass earlier when I did that little proof for you, so I want to do it properly now. I've refilled the glass. I've actually rinsed it again because it actually looked filthy. It looked even more filthy after having a glass of Coke in it than it looked when I had my glass of urine in it last week. That's not to say that I'd be happier drinking out of it after having urine in it than after having Coke in it. But they're both going into my body, so I suppose they're both just going opposite directions. That makes very little sense, because if I say that they're both going opposite directions, that's suggesting that if I drank the glass of urine, it would go up through my bladder, up through my digestive system, and out through my mouth. Well, that's not true at all. If I drank it through my mouth, it may well come out again through my mouth, and then quite quickly, but I wouldn't put it in through my bladder again. I have no way of doing that. You need some sort of a syringe, and I'm not prepared to put a syringe into the hole where the urine normally comes out, just to prove a point. So you can take it, I'm not going to prove that point, and I'm happy enough to admit that I had that arse ways, I had the whole thing wrong. I got the analogy, or whatever you call it, was completely fucked up. There's no chance that I'm going to have a glass of urine here and put it into my bladder and then out through my mouth. To do it the opposite way to the glass of Coke. But the point is, I've got a nice clean glass of Coke now, and I think what I should do here is, instead of just bringing the whole thing full circle, I should bring it full circle and then bring it round in a circle again, or maybe in a smaller circle. It'd be like a spiral. So this will be a less major circle, because it's not a new thing now, the whole peeing and glass thing. So what I'm going to do is drink down the whole glass of Coke now, and hopefully by the time I get to the end of these recording sessions, I'll be able to record myself urinating some of the Coke out. But I'll do it into the toilet, so we'll be back on track then with our urination sessions. We'll be back into a standard, so-called normal receptacle for urination, because the society expects you to urinate into a toilet bowl nowadays, and we're expected to conform with that. So just to show that I'm normal, I'll drink this Coke, and then later on in the show you'll hear me urinating some of the Coke back in the form of urine into a traditional household toilet receptacle. So here goes, here's the Coke. I've got about a pint of it here, so I'll have a good gulp of it. That's about a third of a pint, I'd say. I'll have a little bit more, because I want to have an almost said copper fastened guarantee, if such a thing is possible, that I'm going to produce some urine before the end of this recording session. So we'll drink some more. Oh, excuse me. That's about two-thirds of the pint down there. I am going to call for the whole thing. Let's not leave any holes here, any loopholes where someone can come along and say, that guy, he said he was going to bring this whole thing full circle again. He said something about a spiral, but he didn't even finish the glass of Coke. So no wonder it all went wrong later and he wasn't able to urinate. I'm not going to risk that happening. I'm going to drink this whole bloody glass down right now, right in front of your ears. And you, the listeners, can witness me. Now, I'm damn well going to do something properly for once in my life. If it's the last thing I do, if I die if I die of Coke drinking too fast poisoning in the next 5 minutes, at least I'll have achieved this. And probably while I'm on the doctor's table where they're examining me and trying to figure out what I died of, the urine will leak out of my system, and then we'll have come full spiral, and then I'll be perfectly happy. The only thing I won't be happy about is that I won't have recorded it. So maybe I'll get my portable voice recorder now and put it in my pocket and put it on record, because I believe it holds around 20 hours of audio, so it'll keep going for around 20 hours. So if I die now, all you have to do is make sure that someone rushes me down to a mortuary for examination, and they have a look at me and go, oh, what's that coming out of his system? That's urine. Let's analyse that. He seems to have drunk a pint of Coke just before he died. And then it'll all be known, and hopefully someone will put the recording up somewhere on, some website, and a fan of Into Your Head will create the final Into Your Head with that recording in it, and then it'll all be fine. But hopefully it won't come to that. Hopefully I won't die. Say about 2 inches to go now. Well, this is at the narrow end of the glass, so it's a narrow 2 inches. It's not a wide 2 inches, so that's reassuring. Yeah. It's getting harder to drink now as it goes down, though, because I've had quite a lot of it. But we're going to finish it. As I said, I believe I said, if it's the last thing I do, I'll finish this pint of Coke. It just might take a couple of minutes. Here goes, let's have another go. And we're done. Now let's see if I can prove this to you. Yeah, there's the hollow glass. I'm tapping it with something. And I'm belching at the same time. That's not part of the evidence. It's just coincidental. But there you go, empty glass. So I'll be back to you later to urinate out some of that glass of Coke. And you're the witnesses, so never let it be said never let it be said, full stop. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking he's 29 minutes into the show, and that's not counting the bumpers and the music and Joanne's segments. If you add them in, he's approximately 38 minutes into the show. That's what you're thinking, and you're also thinking that's usually where you'd end it. Most of your shows lately have been 38, 39, or 40 minutes. So you should be wrapping up by now. He should be saying that's it from Into Your Head. We'll be back next time with hopefully a better show than this one, because this one was crap. And you're thinking, that's what I should be saying. Well, I don't agree. I don't agree that that's what I should be saying. For one thing, I'm not finished. I haven't urinated out that Coke yet. That's going to take a while. So I have to wait till that's ready, first of all. And second of all, I never said the whole of the episodes of Into Your Head were going to be 40 minutes long. I never said that at all. That's you that said that in your mind to yourself. And you said it rather loudly, that's how I know you were saying it. But you're saying that nonetheless yourself. And you're not a producer on this show. You're not even a contributor. as far as I know. There aren't any contributors at the moment, although they'd be more than welcome. If you want to contribute, feel free. Send in your stuff and your things to me, and I'll use them. I'll pretend they're mine. I'll distort the voice in some way so that it sounds like mine or Joanne's, and I'll say, here's some new stuff that I came up with. I'm going to attribute it to myself. The person who sent it in won't mind, because they're a fan of Into Your Head, and they're more than happy for me to up my ego and use their stuff in my name. So they'll be perfectly happy with that. But the point is, the show's not over yet. There's still things to be done. I just don't know what they are yet. Perhaps you need a song. I think that's what's what this episode is lacking. Here you go. I'll just get my guitar here and we'll have a little song. We'll have a song about waiting to pee. That's what we'll call it. Because we are quite literally waiting to pee. I'm waiting to pee. I promised you earlier that I would record myself peeing out some of that Coca-Cola that I consumed earlier, and I'm damn well going to do it for you. So let's have a song in honour of that called Waiting to Pee. I think we'll start with an A sharp major. Now this little chord here signifies an ambulance siren, and that's not to say that I'm going to injure myself during the urination session. This is just a warning to myself, to my future self. It's a bit like the way the characters in the Terminator series of movies sent back warnings to each other. I'm like a Terminator, a good Terminator from the future, who's come back to warn myself that if the urination session isn't done right, an ambulance will end up coming. And it'll sound like this. It'll sound, listen to this now. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking ambulances don't sound like that at all. Ambulances sound meep, 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 or they sound like rear, rear, rear. Well, that depends on your respective countries. Ambulances sound different in different countries. I'm doing an Irish ambulance, a traditional Irish ambulance. A good old-fashioned Irish ambulance. If there was a children's animated television series called, I don't know, Arthur the Irish Animated Ambulance, it would sound exactly like this, except his name wouldn't be Arthur, because that's an English name, that's not an Irish name at all. He'd probably be called, he'd be called something beginning with A, or maybe something beginning with F, because he could be a something the fireman vehicle, he could be, I can't think of any Irish names beginning with F either. I can think of one beginning with S, and that's Sean. But not the stupid Americanized one that's spelled S-H-A-W-N. That's not Irish at all. I'm talking about the one that's spelled S-C-A for the N. And it's the Irish for John. John is my third name, by the way. It's my confirmation name. I don't use it anymore. I wore it out at my confirmation. It's just a name that you take on during that ceremony. And you say, I'm going to name myself after someone, one of the saints. I'll name myself after Saint John, and the teacher will warn me that when the bishop is confirming me, he might ask me, what do I know about Saint John, so I better have a story ready. Fortunately, he didn't ask me, so all went fine. And nowadays, of course, they're short of bishops, so you don't even get a bishop at your confirmation. But that's fine. Now, where were we? We were at the song about the urination session called I'm Waiting to Pee. So here we go. Building it up now. We're building up some extra chords. See the way I built them up on top of the ambulance seating? The ambulance thing is still in there now. Listen to this. There it is. It's still in there. It's just that I built it now. I've done this. So there we go. Oh, waiting to pee, waiting to pee. Quite relaxed, not frantically. Waiting to pee, waiting to pee. Now, I'm a bit concerned there because the tune of that song is inadvertently starting to sound like Buckets of Rain by Bob Dylan. And I don't want it to sound like Buckets of Rain by Bob Dylan, because much as I like that song, I don't want to rip it off. I don't have the legal right to perform an imitation of Buckets of Rain by Bob Dylan. So I'm going to change the tune slightly now. Oh, waiting to pee, waiting to pee. Waiting to pee, not frantically, just waiting to pee. Waiting to pee, waiting to pee. Little old me, waiting to pee. Although if I was old, really, I probably wouldn't have to wait so long because I'd be incontinent. Oh, waiting to pee, waiting to pee. I'm waiting to pee, waiting to pee, waiting to pee, but not frantically.
Hello, I'm Doctress Joanne O'Carroll for the Into Your Head Adult Learning Programme, and this is my weekly lecture. Now, a long time ago, in a galaxy not too far from here, well, unless, of course, you subscribe to the rather old-fashioned linear view of distance and time, in which case it's gazillions of light-years away. Two cats walked into a bar. One of the cats was already quite drunk, having partaken in an organised pub crawl earlier in the evening. The other cat was dead, but had been spotted by a taxidermist and stuffed. Unfortunately, his fur had become infected with ants, and effectively this was a walking ant colony, not a stuffed cat. The ants, invigorated by their newfound collective ability to walk on four legs and get into a bar disguised as a deceased cat, were taking full advantage of the situation. Anyway, the first cat, or to be accurate, the only one of the two creatures who can honestly and accurately be described as a live cat, goes up to the bar and orders a Guinness. It all goes fine, and he gets his Guinness and sits down, and it's nice, and we don't need to worry about that particular cat anymore. He had a relatively uneventful evening, which he spent watching the other cat trying to order a drink. I say trying to order a drink, because when you're not really a cat, but a dead stuffed cat covered in millions of ants, each of whom have individual tastes and beverages, it's not that easy to order a drink. The powerful right-wing anti-alcohol lobby in the ant colony managed to make the most noise, so in the end the cat ordered a pint of milk and a cheese sandwich. Of course, several of the younger anti-globalization ants complained that the concept of cats liking cheese is nothing but a stereotype created by the media. But nobody listened because they were hungry, and, after all, you don't get much choice in a pub, unless you like corned beef. Which cats don't. I know they don't, because I heard it in the media. Several years later, a dog walked into the same bar. The dog was alive, but infested with fleas, all of whom were thirsty. Luckily, fleas are all brainless and they will buy whatever the advertising industry throws at them. So the dog, who wanted a vodka lemonade, stood in front of a poster advertising vodka lemonade until all of the fleas had seen it and become convinced that the only thing that would make them happy was a glass of that beverage. So everything went fine for the dog, and he got his vodka lemonade without a fuss. It just goes to show, doesn't it, that it's much better to be a live dog infested with fleas than a dead cat infested with ants. That's what I draw from the story, anyway. Maybe you've read something different into it, and that's fine. It's not as if I'm trying to tell you what to think. If I was, I would do it subliminally. But I don't. I've always found that if you want to convince somebody of something, the best way to go about it is to get them drunk. Bring them to a disreputable hypnotist, murder the hypnotist in cold blood, and somehow convince the person, when they sober up, that they did it. Then all you have to do is tell them that you'll keep quiet so long as they agree with everything you say. It's as simple as that. Anyway, the two cats had a great time in the end, even though one of them wasn't a cat. The band were playing Queen songs, and they both won t-shirts that said, "I'm with Stupid," and had an arrow pointing to the left. One of them chose to wear his upside down, partly so that the arrow would point the other way, and partly because his neck was much thicker than his waist, and he always wore t-shirts upside down, which, by the way, was the reason why he was dead. He had, a couple of days before, underestimated the width of his neck when choosing a new collar and tie, and choked himself to death. Just goes to show, doesn't it, that it's very important to get measured properly when buying clothing. By the way, I noticed while writing this that ants is almost an anagram of cats. Almost. Perhaps this is something that I will come back to in the future lecture. Anywho, I'm Joanne O'Carroll for the Into Your Head Adult Learning Programme.
Now, if you join me, it's a tremendously exciting moment. Something wonderful has happened in terms of timing. I mean, it's not that wonderful. It's not like I've won the lottery or something. But I've won the lottery of editing in this show. It's all finally starting to come together for me, because just as I was finishing the recording of that song, Waiting to Pee, I got another message from Dadaist in Scotland, and he came up with a new topic suggestion for the show. He said, my next suggested topic is pee then poo or poo then pee. Now, Dadaist is a fine, upstanding member of the Scottish community, so I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and assume that he doesn't mean something vulgar by that when he says pee then poo or poo then pee ? I presume he's talking about Winnie the Pooh, and he's just the H on his internet typewriter somehow failed him, so he's had to abbreviate it. He's probably writing on one of them fancy phones, and the H button is broken off, so he has to go pee then poo or poo then pee. So I just have to figure out what he means. Presumably he means that the next question facing me is whether I should whether I should pee and then read Winnie the Pooh, or should I read Winnie the Pooh and then pee. Well, it's not really up to me. It's all in the hands of time and my digestive system, because the timing of when I pee, it really depends on when the pee is going to be ready. It's not ready yet. I can't quite feel it building up in my bladder yet, so I probably do indeed have time to read some Winnie the Pooh. So I think we'll have a look on the internet now and Winnie the Pooh, and actually I'll spell it his way. I'll go
join me at a crossroads during the editing process. This is the me of the present. This isn't a repeated me from a previous episode. This is the me of the present, the same me who introduced this compilation show. Now we're an hour and 5 minutes in now. This segment I'm repeating has another 10 or 15 minutes to go in it, but I say we just cut it off now. I think it's long enough. You people have busy lives to deal with. You don't need to listen to an 80 minute show. So I say we just fade it out now and cut it off. But in case you're afraid that you've missed out on anything, go back and listen to shows 56 and 56 and 82 if you want to hear the full content from which these segments were extracted. So basically that's it. I just wanted to put in this continuity announcement, just so it all fits together and gels together nicely, like the way oil and water gel together, except properly. Oil and water don't really gel together at all. They don't mix. The oil floats on the top, and the water sinks to the bottom like a stone. So anyway, goodbye.
Email us at studio@intoyourhead.com. Stalk us forum guest book, intoyourhead.com.
The online voicemail system,
intoyourhead.com.
Sit, Kofi, sit. Good cat.
intoyourhead.com.